Lord is good and His mercies endure forever. Amen. Thank you, Father. If you've ever owned anything mechanical or electronic, you know that they don't always work on your timing. Amen. And so it is that just as I got up, I looked down and my tablet had gone off. And this message said there was some kind of an error and it needed to reboot. And so I'm waiting on it to reboot, which it just has done. So now if you'll bear with me. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. But well, Kathy and I are very honored to be able to be here today. And sweetheart, why don't you get up and just greet the people? Kathy just had knee surgery 7 weeks ago, knee replacement. And so we're excited about that it's over. Amen, honey. So why don't you come and just say a word? Would you make my wife welcome?
Well, it's good afternoon now, isn't it? But you know, God never gets in a hurry about anything. He has His timing, and we have ours, and our timing doesn't always go along with His, but it should. But it's good to be with you and to see some new faces. And God has been good to me and has given me a whole brand new knee, which can't go it wrong because it's man-made. But God has made our bodies, and I'm thankful for what He has, the healings that He has given me, and I thank Him for doctors that also provide for us when things are worn out. And so it's good to be with you today. God bless you.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good to all of us. Amen. And the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Amen. So, you know, when sorrow comes, that tells me that that's not God's plan. That's man's plan. Amen. In fact, I think I'm going to take this off like this and hold it. And I was told earlier that I needed to hold it close so that it would pick up. But Kathy and I, as you all know, are missionaries. We were in India for 11 and a half years, and the Indian government found out what we were doing, and they didn't like us preaching the gospel, and they expelled us. And we've had an interesting season when you don't know why certain things happen, and they don't seem to line up in your understanding of what the will of God is. And then you really have to rely on Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of His ways, your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And the Lord gave that verse of Scripture, those two verses, to Kathy when we were still in India, just before we got expelled. And we've had to rely on that, and goes back to those promises time and time and time and again, because you see, God doesn't always give you all the details. Faith, which we're called to live by, Romans 1:17 says, so then the just, how many have been justified by the blood of Yeshua? Raise your hand. See, the Bible says the just shall live by faith, not by sight, not by having all the information, having all the answers to all the questions, or even knowing what all the questions are, but by our faith in Yeshua, that He's guiding our steps, that He's taking us where He wants us to go, even when it doesn't seem like we're going where we feel like the destination is supposed to be. Now, I don't know whether anybody's ever experienced that kind of thing or not, but Kathy and I have had almost 2 years of walking through that, but thank God we're walking through. We're not camping out. Hallelujah. See, you may, adversity may come. Problems may come, but you don't have to camp out in the midst of those problems. You don't have to stay in the midst of those adversities. You can purpose to walk on. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You're with me. He had purposed in his mind, I'm going to keep following the Lord till I get out of this situation. I'm going to keep following him. I'm going to keep listening to him. He's my shepherd and he's guiding me, and I believe he's taking me to a better place. Amen. Can you say thank God for a better place? Hallelujah. And I'm not going to talk about Isaac this morning. That's already been done. But I remember when Isaac was getting ready to leave the place where he was at, because there was a famine in the land. There was a drought. The economy was horrible. No crops were growing. And he was thinking of going someplace else. He was trying to find a better place. But God said, I want you to stay here in this place. Because you see, sometimes as bad as things may be where you are, God wants you not to go find a better place, but to make the place where you're at better. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Kathy and I are going to be going back to the mission field after almost a two-year absence this coming February. In fact, we were scheduled to have gone in November, but because of Kathy's knee replacement surgery, we had to wait and let her recover from that. And now we're looking forward. We're going to a little island called Mauritius. Mauritius is off the coast of Africa. In fact, Africa claims Mauritius as being a part of its territory. And it's just down below Madagascar. And we have an opportunity to go there and start a Bible school and preach the Word of God, take the good news, the gospel. The word gospel is good news, amen? And we hear all the bad news. If you want the bad news, listen to the radio, watch TV news. You'll get all you can handle. But if you want the good news, focus on the gospel. Amen? It's the good news of what Jesus came to do for us that we could not do for ourselves. And we're going to be ministering to believers there, helping pastors strengthen the believers and get them a foundation. We've been told that many of the believers in Mauritius do not have a solid Christian foundation in just the basics, just the fundamentals of the faith. And because they don't, every time a new wind of doctrine blows into that island, they swallow it up. They think, oh, this is awesome. You see, you need a foundation in the Word of God to keep you stable in life. Amen. We live in a changing world where standards are changing, ideologies are changing, philosophies are changing. Things that were the bedrock of what our nation used to stand for, now we're standing for something different. And if we're not careful, we'll follow that. But if we know what the Word of God is, it's our solid foundation. Amen. And it'll keep us stable in the midst of an unstable world. Where when other people don't know where to go, we'll know where we're supposed to go. And when they don't know what to do, we'll know what to do. And they'll come seeking answers to the questions they've got about life from you and I. And that's why we're called to be light. This world is filled with darkness. But the Bible says we're to be light. Amen. And Psalm 119 talks about that the entrance of God's Word brings light. So when we have the light of God's Word working in us, it'll not only help us, but it will help those we come in contact with, our neighbors, our co-workers, whoever it might be. So we're going there in February, sometime in 2017. The date hasn't been set. We're going to be going to Kenya, Africa, to start a Bible school there and to teach the Word of God and minister, pray for the sick, cast out devils, whatever God opens up. And then sometime in the early part of 2018, we're going to the Philippine Islands to minister. God brought us in contact with a brother who has a ministry there. A couple weeks ago, we were in a service, and he was there speaking, and then we had lunch with him on Thursday of this week, and God spoke to his heart to invite us, and we're going. So we just thank God that he's opening doors. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into the Word of God this morning just for a little bit, and I'll not keep you long because I know that you don't want the service to go too long, but we want to be obedient and hear what God's speaking to us. Amen. So before we get into the Word and I start ministering the Word to you, could we just bow just for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts to receive what He wants to say? Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Yeshua, thanking you and praising you for your faithfulness. Lord, for your steadfast love that never changes, your covenant with your people through the blood of Yeshua. And Father, I ask you this morning that the Holy Spirit would come and brood over us, just like he did over the waters before creation, and prepare us Lord, for change. Because when your word comes, one of the things it does is it will change us so that we can be more like you. I ask you, Father, Lord, that you help us to be receptive to your word. Help me to speak clearly and distinctly this morning. I submit myself to you, Father. We've studied, we've prepared, we've prayed, and now I ask you, Father, that, Lord, the word of your anointing, Father, would go forth in clarity and in pureness, Father. And, Lord, we may all benefit from it. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. If you'd look with me this morning in the book of Genesis, book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. Thank you, Father. And God said, let's go back up to verse 28. Then God blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve. He had just created the first man and woman. And the first words that they heard were words of blessing coming from our Father God. The Lord blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Verse 29. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you to be food." Have you ever wondered? You know, we walk along in our Christian life, and we ask ourselves a lot of questions many times about God. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is God thinking about me? When God thinks about you, what's on his mind when he thinks about you and I? And I think one of the ways that we can find the answer to that question is to go back to what was on God's heart and mind when he first created the man and woman, when he created Adam and Eve. And according to what we read here in the Word, as God spoke this blessing, there was really three main parts to it. The first part was God blessed them to be fruitful, to multiply, to reproduce. And God wants us to be reproducing. God wants us to be reproducing so this congregation can grow. God wants us to be reproducing so that the influence of Yeshua can spread out over this community and all over the world. The second thing is, the second blessing that the Lord pronounced upon Adam and Eve was the blessing of dominion or control. He told them to bring everything in subjection to them, to exercise the dominion that he has given them. And he said that that would cover every living thing that creeps on the earth in which there is life. He said, let me go back up here to verse 28. It said, "Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So there was nothing that God left out of his blessing whereby they would not have dominion. They were given total control over the earth so they could be God's agents in the earth to see that planet earth was run the way God wanted it to. You see, when God made earth, he had a plan. When God created Adam and Eve, he had a plan. Amen? God still got a plan. Some of us wonder sometimes, "God, what's your plan for my life?" Never doubt. God knew you were coming, and God has a plan for your life. And then the third blessing that God gave to them was the blessing of seed. God knew they were going to need provision. God knew they were going to need resources to be able to carry out what he had called them to do. And so God gave them seed, natural seed, so that they would have a means of not only eating in the present, but also a way of keeping food coming. Okay? That's in the realm of the natural. But as we're going to find out in a little while, it goes beyond just natural seed. God's given us many different kinds of seeds. And that seed is so important. But before we get into that, I want to plant a thought in your mind. Because sometimes we isolate ourselves from what God was doing here in Genesis, from our lives, Because we think, well, that was God creating, that was God working, but we don't have any real part of that. But that's not what Scripture teaches us. You see, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore be imitators of God. This is from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Therefore be imitators of God. Copy Him and follow His example, as well-beloved children do their father. So God's Word teaches us that we ought to be thinking what God's thinking, and we ought to be doing what God has been doing. The same thing that's on Father God's heart, we ought to have on our heart. The same thing that Father God has on His mind ought to be on our mind. So much so that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, I'm reading again from the Amplified. It says, for who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But now listen to this. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. See, the Bible tells us God has given us the ability to think God thoughts, and to be able to have the purposes of God's heart in our heart. Isn't that awesome? See, too many times we live our life as the children of God way far below our privileges, way far below what God ever intended when He created Adam and Eve. He created them for fellowship. He created them to be co-laborers with Him, working on His plan for planet Earth. Well, Adam and Eve sinned and kind of messed things up, but how many of you know when God sets His mind to do something, Satan's not going to stop Him. God will find a way. And see, what Satan didn't understand was before he ever got Adam and Eve to sin, God already knew through His omniscience, through His foreknowledge, what Adam and Eve would do, and already had a plan for their redemption through sending Yeshua. And when we got redeemed and accepted Yeshua as Savior and were born again, we got the mind of Christ, with the ability to understand God's heart and God's thoughts. Amen. So we need to learn. One of the problems with believers and the church is we think at too low a level. We've got to elevate our thinking, and the only way you can elevate your thinking is by studying the Word of God. Amen. You see, you can't change what you're doing till first you change how you think. Thoughts proceed actions. Amen. Even in the natural. You know, we didn't just roll out of bed and, wow, we're here at church, you know, in the synagogue. No, we got up this morning, we had thought, well, this is the Sunday we're supposed to go, and, you know, there are preparations to be made, but we thought and then we acted, and those actions eventually got us here with the help and the protection of the Lord. Same things for whatever your destiny is that God has assigned to you. God wants you to follow His Word. God wants you to first change your thinking so you understand where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do when you get there, amen, and then how to get there. God wants us to change our way of thinking. That's why Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, we shouldn't be conformed to this world. We ought to live differently than the world is living. Hallelujah, amen. Aren't you glad we don't have to live like them? Which means we don't have to think like them. We can think on a higher level. We can think God thoughts while they're being controlled by the god of darkness, Satan. Hallelujah. So we say, well, I understand from the Word of God that God provided seed back in the Old Testament, back in Genesis that we read. But what about in this day and time? God is still providing seed, because there are some things over the transition of time that have not changed. For example, in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, Noah and his family have come out of the ark. First thing Noah does is build an altar to establish covenant with God, and God smelt the sacrifice that Noah offered, and it was pleasing to God. The pleasing aroma came up before God, and God's response was to establish this covenant with Abraham, with Noah and his family. He said, never again. Never, never, never again. As long as the earth exists, pause. Is the earth still here? Come on. Is the earth still here? I hope it is. We're standing on something today, right? Okay, they're still here. That means that everything I'm getting ready to read to you still applies to you and I today. As long as the earth exists, will sowing and harvest, King James says seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night ever cease. It's never going to cease. As long as the earth stands, there's always going to be seed time and harvest. So God declared out of his own mouth by covenant with Noah that as long as the world stood, there's covenant would decree there'll always be a time when God's going to give seed and harvest will come. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. So then going along with that, if we look in if we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, I'm reading out of the International Standard Version of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, "Now he who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat will also supply you." How many yous have we got? If you were here, raise your hand. This is talking to you. We'll supply you and I with seed and multiply and enlarge the harvest that results from your righteousness. Seed sowing is a righteous thing. Hallelujah. It's one of the most righteous things you can do is take what God gives you and be a good steward of it and sow it. By implication, that's what this word is telling us. Why God's giving us seed is to sow the seed. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God has not changed? He's still giving seed to us. Because God knows there are things we need in our life. And in order to get those things, we must be seed sowers, not seed blowers. See, if you don't know what it is, if you don't recognize the seed, if you don't identify the seed, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, you'll blow it and not even know you've done it. And Satan loves that kind of thing. He loves for us to live in ignorance. He loves for us to live in darkness, not knowing and understanding. But we have resources given to us by Almighty God our Father through Yeshua, whereby we can know the will of God and whereby we can do the will of God and have what it takes to be able to do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand right now. Let's thank Him. Father, thank you that you love us and you provide for us. Hallelujah. You're the best father that's ever been. And if earthly fathers take care of their children, how much more will our God take care of us? Hallelujah. So, excuse me. I made a note that sowing is a righteous act. In fact, if you're taking notes, write that down. Seed sowing is a righteous act. It means righteousness is being in right standing with God, correct? So one of the things we do because Christ, Yeshua, has put us in right standing with God through his death, burial, and resurrection is we sow. Now, there is no such a thing, listen, there is no such a thing in the mind of God as a seed that won't produce a harvest. There is no such thing in the mind of God as a seed that won't produce a harvest. I've had Christians tell me, "Oh, I sowed a seed and it didn't produce a harvest." Something's wrong. And to begin with, don't look at God because there's never a problem. God's not the problem. God's the answer. Amen. Bible, listen to this. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven. The Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1:17. So if God is always giving good things, say God gives good things. God doesn't give you something that's worn out. God doesn't give you dead batteries. Amen. Ever have somebody give you a gift and the batteries are included, but the batteries are dead? And you were so looking forward to using that whatever it was, that gadget, that device, but now you can't because the batteries are dead. God never gives us things with dead batteries in it. And when God gives us seed, his seed is geared towards reproduction. It's geared towards harvest because that's in the mind of God. And let me just make another statement. There is no need that the right seed won't meet. There is no need that the right seed won't meet. Or saying another way, the right seed will meet every need. The right seed will meet every need. If you sow the right seed that God gives you, there's not a need in your life now or ever will be that that seed cannot meet the need of. Hallelujah. So let's identify some of the seeds that God has provided for us. Amen. The first seed is the Word of God itself is a seed. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Amen. This is seed. It's seed that God has sent to us. When you believe the gospel, the good news, when you heard that message of the Word of God, and you believed it, that seed took root in your life and began to produce. That seed, which is the seed of God, God's Word, has the very nature of God, the very character of God, the ability of God. It has God in it, amen? The Word of God has God in it to impart into your life. You see, when we think about being the children of God, in fact, in 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called the children of God. That came about through God sowing the seed of His Word and you receiving that seed and that seed beginning to produce in your life. And to the degree you give authority to that seed to work in your life will determine the degree to which God's character and nature manifests inside of you. Amen. Look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. These are the words of Yeshua as he is getting ready to explain the parable of the sower. He taught his disciples this parable, and then they came to him later and said, Lord, would you explain to us what this parable is all about? And this is the explanation that Yeshua gave to them. He said, now this is what the parable means. The seed, he said, a sower went for sowing seed. And Yeshua says, the seed is God's Word. The seed is God's Word. And you know, many times people, when they've taught on this, we focused on the types of soil which represented hard attitudes of people. And we've almost made that to be the main topic of what Jesus was saying. And it is significant. And heart attitude and receptivity to the Word is definitely important. But the real focus is on the seed and what the seed is intended to produce, which is harvest in your life. God gave it to you for that reason. The seed comes for only one reason, and that's to produce a harvest that you need in your life. God's Word comes to you to enable you to produce a harvest so that you can do what you've been assigned to do. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Yeshua said. That's what Yeshua was teaching his disciples. And when we understand that, when we understand this principle, this concept of the significance of the seed and the harvest God wants it to produce, it brings understanding of all the other concepts of the parables Jesus taught. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 13, again, I'm reading from the International Standard Version. Then he, Yeshua, told them, because they were saying, you know, we don't understand this parable, explain it to us. And he said, you don't understand this parable, so how can you understand any of the parables? Understanding the parable of the sower is necessary to be able to grasp the other parables that Jesus taught, because they all focus in on this idea of what it takes to accomplish the will of God, which is a seed and a harvest. A seed and a harvest. So the Word of God is something that's vitally important to us, amen? You know, it's no wonder that many times we as believers are not accomplishing the will of God in our life, because we're not valuing the seed. God gives us a seed of the Word, and instead of allowing it to take root in our life so we get its benefit, which is the harvest, We tend to think, oh, well, I've heard that before. You know, well, so we've heard it before, but did we understand it? Did we really see it with our spiritual eyes and hear it with our spiritual ears and understand it with our hearts? Or was it all being done just in the realm of the natural, seeing with our natural eyes, hearing with our natural ears, understanding with our natural minds? While those things are important, Jesus taught that the reason why that he was speaking to the multitude in parables was because they would see but not be able to determine, that they would hear but not be able to really grasp what was being said, that they would not be able to understand with their hearts, and he would heal them. The word comes to bring healing in your life. If there's a deficiency physically, emotionally, in any area of your life, the word, the seed, comes to produce healing. Amen. No wonder we need this. God said, I sent my word and healed them. I sent my seed, my word seed, to heal them. But you know what? He's done that for everybody. But everybody doesn't get healed because everybody doesn't give the significance to the seed. Okay, let's look at another one. Jesus' life was a seed. The life of Jesus Christ was a seed that God sent to humanity. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 23 and 24, Jesus told them, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Pause. Now, Jesus has cleansed the leper, opened blinded eyes, caused mutes to be able to speak, raised the dead, fed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes, fed 4,000 with similar amounts, done all these marvelous, outstanding miracles, but he never talks about glory till he gets here and says, the hour has come, now's the time that I'm going to get glorified. If I'd have been the disciples, I'd have been wondering what's been going on with all these other miracles we've seen. What were you doing then? But you see, Jesus understood that his ultimate purpose was not around the miracles he would do, but around the purpose for which he was sent to the earth. And that was to be a seed that would be sown. Let's read on. Jesus said to them, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Truly, honestly, no doubt about it, I tell you with certainty, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces a lot of grain. It produces a harvest. Jesus was talking about his getting ready to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. He was talking about giving his life a sacrifice, that he was going to die. And he said, I'm the seed that's going to fall into the earth and die. But when I do, I'm going to bring a harvest. And can I tell you, every person that's here today who has received Jesus, you're a part of God's harvest. God sowed Jesus to get a family, and you're a part of that harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus was saying, his life was a seed that it was sowed into the earth to accomplish the purpose of God. God, when God sows, he never sows indiscriminately. He never sows without a purpose. Every seed has an assignment from God to accomplish a work in your life and in my life, or in the lives of the lost for that matter. Hallelujah. But not only is Jesus' life a seed that needed to be sown, and in order, the idea behind the sowing was that it would deteriorate, it would die, and yet it would begin to produce a harvest. That's not only true for Yeshua. According to what he said, it's also true for you and I. Our lives are also seed to be sown. Let's read on in John chapter 12 and verse 25 and 26. This is Yeshua speaking. The one who loves his life will destroy it, and the one who hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Follow my example. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Jesus was saying, if you're going to follow me, you've got to be willing to lay down your life. So your life where I've assigned you, just like I have laid down my life, sown my life where the Father wanted me to be planted. Amen. Now, I didn't get any amens on that, but that's okay. See, there's something about Yeshua dying that we rejoice in, and something about our dying that we don't get so happy about. One of the things, every time we receive the Lord's Supper, I don't know the Jewish name. Brother, what's the Jewish? Shulchan Adonai. Shulchan Adonai. Every time we do that, and we partake of the bread, and we drink the cup, this thought just automatically crosses my mind. Lord, I don't want this to get to be something that I don't recognize the price you paid. Because when we take it, there's no pain in it, is there? You eat the bread, it's not hurting you. There's no pain for you. We drink the cup, there's no pain for us. But we should not ever take it and not realize that there was pain. It wasn't ours, but it was his. And we should never take it without realizing that just as he was a seed being sown in the earth to endure pain for us, there is a suffering we must do in dying to our will so we can plant like a seed where the Father wants us to be and accomplish his purpose. See, I'm convinced, church, that one of the reasons why people come and then they go is they never really get planted in the house of God. Don't get happy and shout now. They come in on an emotion and they go out on an emotion, and seed sowing is not about an emotion. Seed sowing is about dying to yourself, dying to your will, dying to your purpose and your ambitions so the will of God can be wrought in your life. Amen. So we want to, oh, Jesus took it, I don't have any. Yeah, you got something to bear. There's a burden for you. There's a work for you. There's a responsibility that you take the seed of assignment God puts in your life, and you're willing to let it die to your aspirations and what you think it should be so that he can have his will, so he can have his way. And you know what else? In the process, other people may not be patting you on the back. They may not be appreciating you. In fact, they may be opposing you, which is just good reason for any number of Christians to say, I'm not staying there. They don't appreciate me. What if Yeshua had done that? They were constantly not appreciating him. They were constantly not understanding Yeshua. Amen? The leaders were constantly plotting how they could get rid of him, even to the extent of plotting his death. If you knew that they were plotting, members of this congregation were plotting your death, how many of you would stay? Or how many of you would say, count me out, color me gone, I'm not hanging around here for that? But Yeshua left us an example, didn't he? That if our life is going to be the seed that'll ever produce, it's got to stay in the ground someplace. You can't plant a seed today and then go back tomorrow and say, well, let's move it over here. And then, well, let's move it over here. It'll never do anything. Eventually, it'll just lose its ability to reproduce. If we're not careful, the Word of God will lose its ability to reproduce in our lives. Excuse me. If we don't learn how to get planted in the will of God, pleasant or unpleasant, happy or unhappy. Hallelujah. Thank you for that response. Amen. Glory to God. I know it's almost, is it almost one? It is. Wow. Praise God. Moving on. So our life is a seed. Finances can be a seed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, in fact, that whole ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking and admonishing the Corinthian church to make preparation to give to the needy people in Jerusalem. And listen to what the Bible says. Excuse me. Remember this. This is what Paul tells the Corinthian church. Remember this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. In other words, what we're looking at is the fact that in our modern day and time, right here in 2016, God's still giving seed, expecting us to sow it, including financial seed. Amen. No, I'm not going to take up an offering. Relax. It's already been done. Somebody going, I'm glad to hear that. But what I am saying is finances are a seed, and we need to identify and say, Lord, beyond the tithe, beyond the 10%, you know, sowing is beyond 10%. 10% is a debt you owe God. Amen? 10% is something you owe God. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to fast over it. Just give God 10%. It's His. Now, when it comes to seed sowing, you need to identify the financial seed God wants you to sow, and you need to wrap your faith around it, and you need to boldly proclaim over it the assignment God has for that seed, and then release it. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's move on. There's some other things that can be seed. For example, your time can be a seed. Amen? You sow your time. You sow your talents and your abilities. Your word that comes out of your mouth is a seed. Proverbs chapter 18 talks about that death and life is in the power of your words, the power of your tongue. And you're saying something over every situation, and what you say has a great deal to do with how it will turn out. If it dies, maybe we need to check up and find out if we've been speaking death over it instead of life. You got to know when to speak death and when to speak life, so that you're aligning yourself with the will of God and in not ending up being in opposition to the will of God. Hallelujah. Quickly, we need to identify the field where we're to sow at. Where are we to sow? Not just financially. Where are you to sow the word? Where are you to sow your talents, your gifts, whatever? In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. I just want to read that one to you real quickly. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. The book of Acts is written to be a guide for us as the New Testament church to follow their example. Hallelujah. So that we'd know as the New Testament church how we're to be behaving ourselves. Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. Now, this is talking about Paul. And Timothy had joined the group, and Silas, and they were on a missionary journey. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Talking about the Roman province of Asia. The Holy Spirit said, you can't preach here. You can't sow seed here. See, sometimes we think any place we see a need, we ought to sow a seed. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be compassionate. We shouldn't have a desire. But we need to be listening for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to tell us if that's an assignment where we're supposed to do something or we're supposed to pray and help somebody else who has that assignment. Going on to verse 7. They're traveling on. They can't go into the region of Asia. The province of Asia. So in verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Again, the Spirit says, no, that's not where I've assigned you to go. See, you got to know where you're assigned as a seed to die, but you also need to know where you're not assigned to die. A lot of people are dying in the wrong places wondering why there's no fruit. Hello? They're in the wrong church. God didn't send them there. God didn't ordain for them to be there planting a seed. And so they're trying to die, but nothing's happening. Now, there could be other reasons. Maybe they don't have the right attitude. There could be other reasons. I'm just saying this can be one of them. We must identify the field. Of course, we understand that their family and friends and workers and leaders and our spiritual brothers and sisters are all potential fields that we can sow into. But again, we need to let the Holy Spirit direct us where we're to sow. And then we, last of all, and I'm coming to a close, we need to identify the season. We need to identify the season. Because God talked about that there would be seed time and harvest time, or seasons would stand, would continue. But we must identify the season, because how many of you know if you do the wrong thing at the right time, you're not going to get a harvest? Or if you do the wrong thing at the right time, you're not going to get a harvest. But to get a harvest, you have to sow the right seed at the right time. Amen. We can't use circumstance. Many times we live our lives as believers so focused on what's happening around us in the natural, and we allow the natural indicators to tell us how things are going, what we should do, if this is a season for sowing or if it's not a season for sowing, when in reality, the natural has very little to do with it. Has very little to do with it. You see, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son," talking about Yeshua, "born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." But if you'd have looked at that in the natural, when God sent Yeshua into the earth, it would have looked like God was surely missing it, because the natural indicators were not saying, this is the right time. Hearts were not ready. There was opposition, as we've already talked about. The voice of the prophet was not being honored. Jesus was a prophet, but besides that, all the prophets of God were being ignored by the people of God. Leaders were against God's will and purpose in sending Yeshua. So seed sowing is not about hard attitude. Seed sowing, not about hard attitude of the field you sow into. You see, this is interesting, but the Lord quickened this to me. A lot of times we look at somebody and we want to judge whether or not that person is worthy of us sowing into their life. And if there's something in their life that's not right, we say, I can't sow in that. They got something in their life that's not right. Well, that'd mean probably none of us should get any seed sown into our life, because there's just bunches wrong in my life and probably some things wrong in your life. I'm not perfect. How about you? Okay, perfect people? Good. I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. We'd cast that lying spirit out of you. Amen. We're not perfect. So you can't use those indicators. I mean, God's been sowing His seed into your life and you're not perfect. It's not our place to judge whether they're worthy to receive the seed based on what circumstances we see or evidences we see in their life. You see, we must not major on the little things and minor on the big things. The things that are of greatest significance spiritually are the things we need to really be giving our attention to. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. Jesus answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'Fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the evening, you say, 'It will be,'" in the morning, if the sky is red, you say, "Today it's going to be stormy. We're going to have rain." And Jesus said, "So it is." But then He went on to say, "Hypocrites," that's strong language, but Jesus called them hypocrites, said, "Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot see the signs of the time." You can't discern when it's, for example, seed time or whether it's harvest time, because they're looking at the natural. We must renew our mind to the Word so we don't look at natural things and allow them to determine for us what we ought to be doing, where we should be going, who we should be talking to. We've got to allow God's Word and the Holy Spirit to be ministering in our life and having the preeminence as a determining factor. Let's just take financial seed for an example. The book of Solomon, the wise man, in the book of Ecclesiastes said, I think it's in chapter 13, I'm not sure, but right around in that area, he said, "He who observeth the wind," he who looks at the wind, "will not sow. And he who looks at the clouds and pays attention will not reap." In other words, if you look at the natural things, you're never going to find the right time for seed sowing of finances or probably other things. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, you know, when I get around to it, I'll do this or I'll do that"? Well, they've never found the right circumstances to tell them it was the right time. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't look down here at our mess that our world was in and say, "God, it's not time for me to go. They're not ready for me." But Jesus came when it was God's timing, not when things looked right. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's the Word of God today. It's all about what's on God's mind for you and I. Seed time and harvest. Identifying the seed that God's put in our life. And God said He gave it. Now see, what I do with it may be totally different. But I can never say God's not giving me any seed, because God's word promises in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 16 says, God gives seed to the sower. Amen. And will enlarge our harvest from that seed sown. So I want to encourage you. Let's become like God. Seed-minded and harvest-minded. And let's purpose that we're not going to be moved by the natural circumstances of life, but we're going to be moved by the things of the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Amen. Let me pray over you. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much you looked out and saw what we needed, starting with Adam and Eve. God, to give us seed, not just to meet an immediate need, but seed to sow for the future. Father, you want us to be futuristic in our thinking, not just living life for the moment, but Father, as your children with an assignment here on planet Earth, you want us to be thinking about what the future holds, what the future opportunities are, and sowing towards that with the seed that you give us so that we can reap the harvest that you intended. We thank you, Father, that by your grace and by the wisdom and the guidance of your precious Holy Spirit and the light of your word, Father, we're able to do it. We just thank you and praise you for it. In your